Today on Real Life Radio.
There are rich people who die rich, and they are super rich in heaven because they've invested for God's kingdom. There are people who are poor and they die poor, and they're poor in heaven because they've invested little. It has nothing to do with how much you have. It has to do with what you do with what you got.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Revelation with a message titled, When God Takes a Break, and this is part two. We cannot pick up the Bible without reading about God's love, His grace, and mercy to a rebellious and fallen world that's lost in its sin and failure to follow God. You see, when God takes a break here in chapter 10, He pauses to show some insights of where we're going in Revelation. God is always faithful in that before He sends judgment, He always sends His messengers of mercy for people to turn from their sinful ways. So today in this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that many of us have been raised on a bitter gospel, a works-based theology that left a bad taste in our mouth. But the Bible tells us to taste and see that the Lord is good. God's grace is sweet. It's life without Christ that leaves us sick and without hope. And now in his message called When God Takes a Break, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, Go, take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. So I went to the angel and said to him, Give me the little book. And he said to me, Take it and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and I ate it, and it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I ate it, my stomach became bitter. And he said to me, You must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. What I see here is that the Lord is giving his love and his righteousness, his righteous love. How so? In that pause, the message is given to John, preach it, tell it, speak it, every opportunity, John, tell people. Now listen to this. This is very cool in my opinion. Church, you know now by virtue of the introduction, John is a very old man. In the giving of the book of Revelation, he's a very old man on the Isle of Patmos, which if you sign up to go with us on that tour of the middle of the Mediterranean, we're going to the island of Patmos. John was on that island left by the Roman Empire to die. God had another plan. He will be rescued and he will be taken to Ephesus. The old man, the apostle. He'll die of natural causes, by the way, the only apostle who does. During that time, he preached. He told people. But you say, wait a minute, Jack. He, according to church history, was also very old and crippled. He didn't get around much. It's true, he didn't. But did he not write one of the world's, or if not, he was certainly a contributing editor, author to the world's best-selling book? Did he not author the Gospel of John? Did he not write 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John? Did he not write the book of Revelation, inspired by the Holy Spirit? The Bible without error? He did. John's an author of several books of the Bible. What's beautiful about this is also is that it speaks that what you and I, oh, are you listening? Wake up your neighbor, have him get this part, and then you can go back to sleep. What you and I do as Christians will last apparently forever. That's cool. Well, how are you investing? Quite effectively. Ooh, you got some capital, do you? No, but I'm a Christian and I'm investing in telling people about Jesus. So are you, by the way. Did you know that? Did you know, by virtue of the fact this last week, you were able to purchase over 9,000 Bibles this week to send to the world? That's wonderful. Last week, you gave so abundantly to the Gideons that they got a hold of me and said, Pastor, your church was able now to purchase 9,000 Bibles to send out to the world. That is a lasting investment. That is something that will endure forever, because the lives of that word of God going into their hearts and into their lives will change people, and that will be something that will be providing dividends, so to speak, for you and I forever in heaven. So preach, he says, tell it. The Lord loves and he is righteous. So he says, John, know it, take it, understand it, digest it, for you will experience my word. Listen, pleasant to those who receive it, bitter because of the judgment that's coming. As a Christian, as a father, as a pastor, it's amazing for all of us to see where this world is going. How do we counter it? As a Christian, I'm glad about a lot of things. I'm glad about heaven. I'm glad about my assurance. But I'm also bitter about evil and rebellion, aren't you? As a Christian. As a father, I'm glad about my daughters who know the Lord. You know? What would it benefit me if thousands of people came to this church and I lost my own daughters? Can you imagine if thousands of people came to know Christ in this ministry and my daughters missed heaven? What would profit a man if he gained a bigger church but lost his own daughters? I'm glad that you're here. And I don't know how to say it in human terms, but I'm glad my daughters are going to heaven. Okay? And I'm commanded to give you the word of God, but it's interesting that I'm commanded to bring them up in the ways of the Lord and to teach them the ways of the Lord as their father, and certainly Lisa does that as their mother. As a pastor, I'm glad about what God is doing with us here. As a pastor, I'm sad about so many people in this day and age, their faith is dying. People aren't investing in their children. They're not investing in their spouses. They've given up on faith, and they're more dedicated, spending tremendous efforts of energy and of time to make money or to buy that home on the hill or whatever that trinket is. And they've divorced themselves from family and children. The kids don't know the Lord, but it's sad. This is an indictment on us. What shall it profit you if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? And as a pastor, my heart breaks when I see people giving up the word of God, what God has laid upon their hearts to obey from Scripture, because of the pursuit of more money. It's all going to come down. It's a house of cards. And all you need to do is talk to a dying man, and your alignment will straighten up real quick. Has God blessed you? Praise the Lord. Use it to his glory, okay? And he'll bless you. He'll keep blessing you, by the way. It's just the way. He will never become indebted to you. If God's blessed you, turn it around. Crank it on for God, you know? But listen, there are rich people who die rich, and they are super rich in heaven because they've invested for God's kingdom. There are people who are poor and they die poor, and they're poor in heaven because they've invested little. It has nothing to do with how much you have. It has to do with what you do with what you got. So that a poor person can invest what they have, be it time, effort, could be a dollar, but it's spent wisely and they're rich in heaven. It could be a rich believer invests very little with God and winds up that they're very, very poor in heaven. You see what I'm saying? Very important. We understand that. And so we need to be sensitive to the fact that there's a bitterness and there's a sweetness to all of these things. And as Christians, we need to be very careful. You want to jot down a few verses? I had a lot of fun finding this one verse because it convicted me so much. And I'll tell you the reason why. It was the second verse I memorized as a brand new Christian. My first verse was kind of twisted, I must confess. Greg Laurie gave a message that night on Revelation 20:11. Behold, I saw a great white throne, and the books were open, and those who stood before him were judged of the things written in the book. That's not a good verse. But he preached on it, and it scared the H-E double hockey sticks right out of me. And I realized I better run forward and accept Christ. So God used Revelation 20:11 in my life. The next verse was a little bit more encouraging. I got saved on a message of bitterness, but then the Lord quickly brought sweetness. That's Jeremiah 15:16. Jeremiah 15:16 says, your words were found and I did eat them. And your word was to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Because I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Isn't that a great verse? What turns you on? Is it the fact that you've eaten the Bible? It's in your fiber? It's in your blood? And what makes you so excited and joyful is that God knows you and you know him and he calls you. You are property of the living God. And because of that, you are joyous. Man, that's great. King David in Psalm 51, he makes this great confession. And then he says, Lord, you know, forgive me. It was his sin with Bathsheba, remember? Then he says, forgive me. Renew a right spirit within me. And he says, and then I will go and teach sinners your way. What's your joy? Having your sins forgiven? The fact that your name is written down in heaven? Yeah. Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Some of you are like that. Every time I've opened the Bible, it's all bitter, 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 bitter. I don't like it. I don't know what's with you people reading the Bible. You'll read it and you go, oh, wonderful. I don't get it. I don't see it. And you spit and choke and, well, you know what? Maybe you need to hear that verse. Taste and see that the Lord's good. Maybe you've been brought up in a bitter, bitter gospel, which is no gospel. You got to keep this rule, got to keep this law. You got to do the church ordinances. You got to do this for the board or this for the pastor. You got to do this. And then you can become a member of the church. And it's like, man, who can live up to this? Bitter. Taste and see that the Lord is good. John 6:35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He didn't say, I am the, you know, bitter bagel or something. I'm the bread of life. I am the bread of life, he says. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But the messenger also said it's going to be bitter to your stomach. Listen to this. What does he mean by that? Acts 17:30 tells us a little bit of bitterness. Truly, these times of ignorance, it was preached. God overlooked, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. That's Jesus Christ, who he has given as an assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Jesus is coming back to judge. 2 Corinthians 2:15. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved. That is, when we evangelize and preach and teach, it just blesses people, those who are being saved. They love it. But watch this. But to the ones, we are an aroma unto death, leading to death. And to the other, an aroma of life leading to life. Who's sufficient for these things? The preaching of the gospel brings bitterness to some, life to others. It's a stinky stench to some, and it's a wonderful aroma to others. Isn't that interesting? The Bible. People either love the Bible, or they're scared to death of the Bible and hate it. Ezekiel was told to eat a book, tasted good, but in his stomach it was bitter. Zechariah, sweet to the taste, bitter to the stomach. God's grace is sweet. His judgment is bitter. Verses 10 and 11, he's made and given a mandate to mankind. The Lord has ordained truth and justice. He says, then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and I ate it, and it was to me sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it and swallowed it, that is, he digested it, it became bitter to my stomach. And he gave this proclamation to him. I want to end with this. You and I, when we read this, it's like, well, that's kind of interesting, putting the Bible, putting this announcement in the mouth, and sweet and bitter. You know what's really neat about this? And I found this in Manners and Customs of the Scriptures of the Bible. I didn't know this previously to this study, but I find it extremely romantic as the Jewish people are regarding God. I've told you before, remember when a Hebrew baby's born? The first thing that the moms do, the believing mothers, they take that Hebrew baby, their little baby, and they put that baby on their breast to nurse, and they are dedicated to this. As soon as the baby is put on the breast to nurse, notice the position of the head and the ear and the mouth to the mother. The ear is the closest thing to the mouth of the mother. Are you with me? As soon as the baby starts to draw milk, her mouth speaks into the ear of the baby and says, the Lord, he is God. Isn't that cool? The Lord, He is God. So that baby grows up instantly getting warmth. Listen, that baby can hear the heartbeat of mom, the warmth of mother, the nourishment of mom, and the emotional comfort that that brings the baby. And the baby grows up hearing the Lord, He is God. Strength comes from Him. Nourishment comes from Him. Warmth comes from Him. The beating of the heart, life, comes from Him. Isn't that cool? Well, in the same thing about the words being sweet to the mouth, this is cool. In the Old Testament times, the parents would teach their children the Hebrew alphabet so that they might form words, of course. They would put the alphabet on a slate, and they would write it out on the slate with the mother or father's finger dipped in a flowery honey substance. And they would use that as chalk. When the child learned that alphabet and began to put words together, the Lord, okay? When the child was able to say the word, guess what they were allowed to do? Come forward, and they were allowed to take off. They were able to scrape the word that they wrote off, and they would eat it. They loved it. The word is sweet in my mouth. But when you begin to ingest the word of God, it's not only wonderful salvation to those who believe, it's terrible judgment to those who resist. And there's pain with that. And listen, I want to end with this. Isn't it interesting? We are to preach the gospel around the world. And you think about that. John, speak it, preach it, teach it. That rule is incumbent upon you and I. We are all. You say, no, Pastor, you preach it. You go, Pastor, go do it. I'm just going to sit here and you go do it. We can't do that. Listen, we are either senders or goers, right? We have to be involved. The team's leaving for Macau. How? How now to Macau? Because you have funded a mission outreach to Macau so that the people on the streets will hear. You are either participating in that, or you're going, or you're not doing nothing. I want to talk to those who are doing something. And that is, the believer is commanded to get involved and to do this stuff. So this is very, very cool. Here's the fun thing. When you step out to do that, things happen. The great thing is you step out once and God begins to open doors, and it's like, Lord, we need more laborers. Remember Jesus said, pray that the... It's a beautiful thing. And so the invitation is out to us. John is commanded, preach to the people. Tell them. To many nations, to the peoples. And I tell you, and I want to make this publicly known today. If I die today, I don't plan on it, but if I die, I'm a happy guy. God has done more in my life than I've ever dreamed, truly ever imagined. From a guy who stuttered horribly and terribly, who couldn't even recite his wedding vows in his wedding because he stuttered so bad, God healed me at Calvary Costa Mesa from stuttering, told me to study to show myself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed. Have you ever stuttered? Anybody ever have that problem? The number one thing that hits you upside the head is being embarrassed and ashamed. And inside you got all this stuff to say and it can't come out. It's terrible. So I remember just diving into the Bible and just so excited about that. And it was really neat because the word came, God's going to heal you. But it didn't come for several years. Because this is what was said in that afterglow that night at Costa Mesa. God's going to heal you, but you're to study the Bible. So I studied the Bible. Nearly 3 years later, the healing came. Had a chance to share Christ with a girl on a bridge in Lido Island as we would go out and share the Lord with people. Got so excited and couldn't eat enough of the Bible. Had to get it all the time. Lisa and I were going to Calvary Costa Mesa every night of the week during the week. The only night we didn't go was on Friday nights. We just dove in. And to now, if I'm giving the news, it's time for you to die, Jack. Well, you know what? Naked I came and naked I go. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because you know what? Through you in this ministry, there have been so many people saved, so many people healed. I don't mean just physical. I mean more spiritual healing. To have found out several years ago that there are people working in the White House who got our tapes and had our teaching ministry inside the White House, where our tapes were literally in the pockets of Marine soldiers, guards outside the president's bedroom, where I had the chance to speak to officers in Virginia whose detail is the White House. That's a miracle. I'm telling you, it's a miracle. To be able to just minister with you to various countries of the world, to stand in front of Lenin's tomb on a crate and preach Christ risen from the dead, that's amazing. How did that ever happen? You and I together. We're nothing alone. We just stutter. But together, God is using us and everyone who loves the Lord and the Word of God to fulfill what he told John so long ago. It's happening. Time's running out. We must hurry. But what a wonderful thing to know that as we sit here too, that these messages are being broadcast internationally to many countries in the world. My friend, that ought to tell you that God's doing something and he's honoring his own word, even what he's spoken to the Apostle John. Let's pray now and you make sure that you have the assurance of this hope and that you too can become, or that you are, a minister of his.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Life Radio with his message called When God Takes a Break, Part 2. We're glad you could join us today. When God Takes a Break, Part 2. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the New Testament and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, everybody, this is David Jay in studio with my friend Pastor Jack. Pastor Jack, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. But let me tell you, I am counting down until Countdown arrives at my house. I'm really excited about this new book. Now, it's called Countdown, All Eyes on God's Ultimate End Game. And it's a brand new book you wrote about the indicators happening today, you know, right now, that point to prophecies and end times events. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, you know what? Lately, with all the things that have been going on in the world, mm-hmm. of course, more specifically these last few years,
right?
But of late, with wars and rumors of wars, as Jesus put it, just quickly put together a book from recent messages that I've done.
Yeah.
And I think that people will find it extremely timely because, of course, there's been a lot added in between the sermon notes and all that are relevant and current to this moment. I think people are going to find it insightful. And the goal, of course, is to bring the hope of the gospel to people.
Yeah. Now, Pastor, you mentioned the timeliness of this book with all that's happening in the world today. It feels like these days we might be running out of time.
Yeah, exactly why both the cover will depict time fleeting and the title Countdown itself. I think, Davey, when you look at it, people, believer and non-believer, there's a sense of urgency among people.
Yeah.
I know among those who are believers, there's a sense of urgency, basically to get the job done about getting out the gospel. But for the non-believer, I think they sense an overwhelming grip of things being temporary.
Mm-hmm.
The zeal, for example, of passions are now quickly becoming not the answer. Unfulfilling, which it used to take a lifetime of pursuing sex, drugs, and rock and roll, as people would say it.
Right.
Power, education. Now they're finding out really quick, wow, you know what? This leaves a really bitter taste, and I'm still empty, and I need to find hope.
Well, there you have it. The new book by Pastor Jack, Countdown, All Eyes on God's Ultimate End Game. And you can order it right now for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/offer. That's jackhibbs.com/offer. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.